The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live with Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Darren Owen in the studio from 11:50am. Ascot, Uttoxeter and Southwell are the three meetings in the afternoon. A good afternoon of racing, in particular Ascot. And into the evening we have the usual all-weather fair at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. Some good racing coming up again this weekend. It's a regular theme throughout the last few weeks. Ascot this time round. And we've got a few things we can talk about before we get stuck into Friday's action. Notably, Sign of a Victory won't run in the Ladbroke Hurdle we discovered on Wednesday afternoon, wasn't it? Due to the ground. But it seems that Dan Skelton thinks that the ground will be in the favour of his runner. And there's been market support as well behind Shelford, who's now 11-2 second favourite behind Activial, who was the early week gamble earlier on in the week, who's now 7-2. So what do you make of the Ladbroke?
Well, it's an interesting race. Obviously, as it always is, competitive. And as the last race on Saturday, obviously the ground's going to be fairly well churned through, I would have thought, by that point. Sign of a Victory, I'm not really one for this dilly-dallying. They've missed one race, you know, in November because of him. Now they're missing a race in December because of the ground again. I mean, if the horse is ready to run, just run him. What difference does it make? You know, there's a chance that he might handle it and there's a chance that he might actually win. Anyway, so, you know, because eventually they're going to get to the point where if they have heavy ground between now and the end of February, they're going to get to March and think, oh, it's Cheltenham and we haven't run the horse. Just get on with it and run him. And then, or it's going to get to February, the ground's heavy, and they think, well, we've got to run him on heavy ground now because we've got no choice, which is not really ideal before Cheltenham. So if you're going to run him on heavy, just get it out of the way and get it done when it's a good prize in a small field, as was the case with Newcastle. Obviously not so much the case here. So, yeah, obviously Shelford's form has worked out really well, particularly his win at Chepstow in the Silver Trophy when he beat Orbison, who obviously is one of the runners in the long walk also at Ascot on Saturday. Overall, the card's good. They've doubled the prize money for the Silver Cup as well, the three-mile handicap chase, which is really good to see. Particularly, I mean, it was a very good race back when it first started. I mean, the first year it was run, it managed to attract Arkle, I think. He definitely won it one year, as opposed to running in the King George at Kempton. So hopefully we'll have a good run there, and it seems like the young master might run as well. So we'll see how he's going to cope, despite having not won at Wincanton technically, but still having been clobbered by the handicappers. So all in all, a good card, and good old Rev de Sivler's running in the long walk again, and he's made me a few quid the last 2 years, and I'm tempted to just go in again, to be honest.
Yeah.
More out of sentiment's sake, really, to be fair.
Well, he's 7-2. If you want to, Zach handed 5-4 in that betting. 3-1 for Medinas, Rev de Sivler 7-2, 7-1 Orbison and 14s for Delarca. One thing that you will have in your favour is Rev de Sivler in the mud.
Well, he loves it. Yeah. Obviously, heavy ground is fine. His last couple of runs have been terrible, to be honest. But he's come back from poor runs before. Zarkandar, whether a combination of the trip and the ground will really help him, I don't know. I think his best chance would come with an easy lead, which I don't think he'll get with Rev de Sivler. And therefore, I think Rev de Sivler will outstay him. Obviously, it's a bit of an unknown for Orbison. Medinas was rather flattered, I thought, when he won at Newbury, because obviously more of that things weren't right, and Cole Harden disappointed, having comfortably beat him the time before at Weatherby. And you're left with Dalarca, who I just don't think is good enough, to be honest. So fingers crossed, Mark,
yes,
that Rev de Sivler can get the job done. But yeah, decent card. Haydock's pretty good as well on Saturday. The old Tommy Whittle, and it's a good novice chase and one or two other decent races up there. So yeah, it's decent. And then it's Christmas, and that is, more than decent, isn't it?
Yes, well, while we're on the subject of Christmas, a few things around the meeting at Kempton. Obviously, the Sign of a Victory may end up now in the WilliamHill.com hurdle. Mm. Where he would meet the new one and apparently much less fat Fourheen,
yeah,
which is a great way to describe how fit he is. The pitching him in
Well, yeah.
Massively up in company there, aren't they?
Well, it's like, we'll go to the Fighting Fifth. Oh, no, the ground's too heavy. So we'll go to Ladbroke at Ascot. Oh, the ground's too heavy. Or we'll go to Kempton. I mean, it's good to soft at Kempton as we record this.
Yeah.
So it's not going to dry out that much in the middle of December. So you think a bit more rain, but it could be soft again anyway. So
he's just taking on much better horses.
And much better horses. So I just... I can understand, you know, their reasoning behind it, but I would personally have maybe gone a different way. I mean, they could have run him at Cheltenham last week when the game was good to soft. If they're going to take on good horses for better prize money against the new one, where they received weight as well, you know? And maybe ran Van Ater this week on soft ground. But anyway, you know, he's been champion training many times and I never will be. So there we go. However, yeah, I mean, I don't think the new one's going to run, to be honest. Sam Twiston Davis was a bit negative before and Nigel's not committed since then. So we'll see how we come out of it. And obviously last year we ran in the two and got beat.
Yeah.
So I think that might put them off slightly. And instead of going straight from Kempton to Cheltenham, they might run him in January somewhere, yeah. Champion Hurdle Trial Haydock, having won there already this season, or Sandown or something like that. But still taking on Faheen. It's going to make the race easier for Faheen, to be honest, you'd have thought. And William Mullins said he's going to go to Kempton and probably have four or five runners. So that will really boost the Kempton card. Obviously, he's got Champagne Fever in the King George. He's won the King George before with Florida Pearl, who Champagne Fever very nearly ended up being campaigned the same as Florida Pearl in that he won the champion bumper and then they were considering going straight over fences with him, which Florida Pearl did. He never ran in a hurdle in his life. Mm. But they decided against that. But he was good at Clonmel, but he ran a bit choke out of a 2.5. And for all this, Kempton's a flat track, an easy 3 miles. For me, that's tripe, quite frankly.
look at the winners.
Yeah, you look at the winners. And they're all out. Yeah, Silviniaco Conti, Long Run, Quarto Star, Kicking King.
Yeah.
You know, there's First Gold, Florida Pearl. I mean, Florida Pearl wasn't... He stayed 3 miles very well. I mean, he won four Hennessys at Leopardstown, which is a stiffer 3 miles in Kempton.
Yeah.
But he just never stayed the Gold Cup trip, and he wouldn't be the first there.
No.
You know, Seymour Business, Best Mate, need I go on? There's only one horse, and that was Edredon Bleu, really, to be honest, who was a 2.5 mile horse who's won the King George. Yeah. But he's a very good horse.
The thing with it is, Kempton is a flat, easy 3 miles, but because you get the out-and-out stayers, even though it is flat, you're still going to be outstayed by something that's a stronger stayer unless you...
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly, and the ground's soft. I mean, you know, it is a flat course, but at a high level, you've got to stay the trip really well. Yeah. So I do have concerns for Champagne Fever, I have to admit, come the King George, to be honest.
Yeah, sounds like Willie Mullins has as well. He's not been quite so bullish. He says he's got a bit of a hill to climb at Kempton,
yeah.
Ironically, which he doesn't.
No, there are no hills within about 5 miles of Kempton at all.
But Silviniaco Conti is 5-2 at the top of that market. Champagne Fever 3-1. Alpha off 7s. Menorah 8s. 10s for Q Card and Dynast. And 12s or bigger.
The next five after Silviniaco Conti, for me, are all... they all stay 3 miles, but only averagely, if that makes sense. Where, well, I mean, obviously Champagne Fever, we don't know, but the others, Dynast, Q Card, Menorah, they've all shown that they stay 3 miles this season and in previous seasons, but only on decent ground. And if it turns into a slog, if there's any more rain, then you think Silviniaco Conti is the strongest stayer. And the previous winner is... I mean, and previous wins have got a great record as well. Horses defending their title have got a great record in the King George. I mean, I think I worked out something like in the last 20 years, there's only been like 9 horses who've won the King George. Because you had one man who won it twice, Seymour Business won it twice. Obviously, Kicking King won it twice. Quarto won it 5. If you go further back then, The Fellow won it twice. Barton Bank should have won it twice, but fell at the last when he was clear.
Long Run's won it twice.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, yeah, I forgot about old Long Run. Fair play. And then back into the 80s, it gets even, you know, you've got Wayward Lad and all those. It is a race that horses tend to, you know, if they've won it once, tend to go really well again. So I'm not the world's biggest Silviniaco Conti fan, but I've got less concerns about him compared to the others, especially considering he's trained by Paul Nicholls as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, plenty. Yeah, he's got plenty of ticks in boxes where others have a few question marks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got all that to look forward to after Christmas.
After Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
Got to get ahead of ourselves.
No, we don't. So let's take a look at Friday's action.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Friday's action. Stephen's got two races at Ascot for us and one at Wolverhampton. So we'll start at Ascot in the 155, which is a Supreme Novices Trial. It was the Kennelgate Novices Hurdle. It's a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles, only four of them in the lineup here. Kalulta Vic coming over from Ireland for Willie Mullins. Lammy Serge is also in there. Gunner 15 and Emerging Talent. That's the four. And I suppose Lammy Serge is interesting on recent form, given that he won the Jerry Fielding at Newbury, despite making quite a bad mistake at the last, and still won by 6 lengths. He's down. So if he reproduces that, I know this is he's up in grade here, Stephen, but he's got to be somewhere near, hasn't he?
Lammy Serge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He does.
Okay. No, obviously he was quite impressive. He brought some good form from France, though he'd never won. And then he was quite well handicapped. He only carried 10-7 when he won that race at Newbury. And this is a step up in grade, as you rightly say. Obviously, I think it will be all right on the ground, but he does need more, I think, in order to win this race, Lammy Serge. I'm not saying he can't find that. His form in France concerns me a little bit. I'm wondering if he's just... has he repeated? Although he's technically improved on a ratings, I'm wondering if he really has improved on what he showed in France when winning at Newbury. In the sense that he was very consistent there as well, and conditions suited him. He was well handicapped, all that sort of stuff that I said already. I'm not all over him. I respect him, but I'm not really... really enamoured by him too much. Willie Mullins is running Kalulta Vic, obviously a dual national hunt flat winner last year. I mean, he demolished Golan Tiller by 16 lengths at Nace, and that was a tremendous effort. Sixth and then fifth at Cheltenham and Punchestown, just off the main protagonists there, but no disgrace by any means. And he won easily at Clonmel. Didn't jump all that fluently at Clonmel, but obviously it was his first run. He's entitled to come on for that. I've got a feeling with Kalulta Vic that he might be a better hurdler or a better jumper than he was a bumper horse, and he was a good bumper horse. And William Mullins and Ruby Walsh have got a good record at Ascot. Well, Ruby Walsh particularly rides Ascot really, really well, Ruby Walsh, and he drops down in trip as well from 2.5 miles, so he shouldn't have any problem seeing it out on bad ground. Gunner 15 won well at Uttoxeter, has got form on soft ground as well after things didn't quite go to plan over hurdles last season, but this is vastly superior to that, so he's got to really step up for all that he did bolt up, to be fair. An Emerging Talent ran at Cheltenham when he was second to Vita de Roque, and there's only one horse that's run from that race since, and that's Vita de Roque, who won at Sandown, and he got knocked for his win at Cheltenham, but you know, you can't really knock him again when he did it at Sandown, although he only won marginally. An Emerging Talent, he's tricky. I think he's got a lot of ability, Emerging Talent. Now, they held him up over 2.5 at Chepstow and he was too keen, so they dropped him to 2 miles and went from the front, and he was just a bit tapped for toe. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. I would presume they might let him stride on, but Kalulta Vic led at Clonmel. And if those two, I don't think they'll take each other on, I don't think that's stupid, but if those two, you know, go on a bit, then it might leave it for Lammy Serge to pick up. It's a tricky race. I think in the long term, Emerging Talent will be the best horse. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that he wins.
Okay.
There's no great conviction in that, to be fair, at all. Yeah, it's a tricky little race. There's only four runs, but it's hard.
It is difficult.
Receiving weight, £7 as well from the other two, of course, which, you know, may well help.
Yes, especially if the ground becomes real testing.
Yeah, well, it will be. The going stick is like 5. I know it's only soft. That's pretty low, to be fair.
Okay.
And there's more rain forecast as well.
Yep.
Between recording and race time.
Fair enough. The 2:30 at Ascot is where we're going next. This is the Mighty Novices Chase, which was the Noel Novices Chase. It's a Grade 2 over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Jossie Hill making his reappearance here. Interesting on last season's form. The year entry win in particular at the back end of last season. Do you think he can pick up where he left off?
And that's a different question. Do you think he'll win?
Yes.
Do I think he'll pick up where he left off in the sense that he's very promising and has a lot of ability? Yes. Do I think he'll win? No.
Right.
I'll mention Don Ravenstorm first of all, because he'd come chasing a little bit late in the day at the age of 9, but he's shown good form winning at Exeter and Cheltenham as well. Touched off by Vibrato Veltat, but beating Irish Saint, who was favoured at Sandown in the Henry VIII. That was less than 2 weeks ago, and he's out again. And I think they're trying to make a bit of hay while the sun's not shining, but early season when there's small fields and some good prize money knocking about, basically, because I think he'll be out of his depth come the festivals in the spring. What concerns me about Dunraven Storm is, although he stayed this trip over hurdles, that was on good ground, and I'm wondering if a combination of the trip and soft ground might be a bit much for him. And that is a concern for me for Josses Hill, in the sense that this is the softest ground he will have encountered ever. It's the first time he's gone beyond 2 miles as well. And there's been some Nicky Henderson horses who've needed their first run this season.
That is the big thing.
So the combination of those three all worry me a little bit, to be honest. Now, I think he'll either get beat or he'll win impressively. I don't think there'll be any in between, because I don't think Barry Gales will be hard on him. So if he's struggling, I don't think he's going to, you know, really knock 7 bells out of him to win by a neck on heavy ground. And so that gets us to Petit Zig, Grade 1 winner over this trip over hurdles in France on heavy ground last year. Ran really well off top weight on this meeting, or at this meeting 12 months ago in the Ladbroke. Obviously competing in the champion hurdle where he was, you know, not beaten all that far, in fairness to him. And he's had 2 runs over fences, ran Warwick and Exeter. Warwick particularly is quite a hard track to jump round for a novice, but he did it well. And I think, you know, things will suit him better than the other two. Formal bid and Traffic Fluid have both got a lot to do. Traffic Fluid, he's only had one run over fences in France, which he won at Strasbourg on heavy ground. But, I mean, how good that is anybody's business. And whether it's not going to be as good as the other three, to be fair. So, although he might be a nice horse, he's obviously averaged his depth, and so too is Formal Bid.
Okay.
Because of the concerns for Dunravenstorm and Josses Hill, I'll go for Petit Zig.
Petit Zig, then, the selection there in the 2:30. Was it the Noel or the Noel as in
Noel,
Christmas time?
I think it's Noel, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with calling it the Mighty Noel Novices Chase, personally, but... Yeah.
That's not for us to decide, is it?
No. Unfortunately.
5:20 at Wolverhampton. Listeners, if you could have seen his face then, it was a picture. The 5:20 at Wolverhampton is where we go next. This is a Class 2 handicap over the extended, well, it's nearly 6 furlongs, and it's for 3-year-olds and older, 10 of them in the lineup here.
This is another little mini gripe.
Yeah.
5 furlongs, 216 yards.
Yeah.
What is... there must be, because why would you just not move the stalls 4 yards back? 4 yards, Mark.
I know, yeah.
Like, that is not very far.
It'll be in the race, but there's five furlong plus, and it's 4 yards short of six.
Exactly. So what is I'd love to know. But unfortunately, I don't go to Wolverhampton these days, so
yeah.
I'm not making a special trip. this is a good race, actually. We'll spin through a few of them, because they've got good form, most of these. Number one, Caspian Prince, won the Dash at Epsom on Derby Day. Second at the Curragh in a very big handicap midsummer. Won at Dundalk as well. But all of that form is over 5 furlongs. He's 0-4 over 6 furlongs in his career. Although he has won over 7, bizarrely. But that was when he was very early on in France. He's 0-4 over 6 furlongs, 3 in Britain, 1 in France. And those 3 in Britain were all here at Wolverhampton over 6 furlongs. So after a break as well, I like my sprinters to be sort of, you know, race fit and have been running. So I'm happy to move over him. Tarouk is a horse who's really good on the all-weather. 10-23. He's won here at Wolverhampton. He's won at Lingfield, where he holds the track record over 6 furlongs. And he absolutely flew home when he was just beaten into third by Lancelot Dulac in a very similar race to this at Lingfield last time. Same mark as well. He won a listed race off this mark last year at Lingfield as well. And I think he's going to go really close, providing he's got a good pace to aim at, which I think he'll get, because Caspian Prince tends to go on. Now, I'll probably say, yeah, he'll lead, because he normally does. But, you know, they might hold him up to try and stay six, but I don't think they will, because it's not the horse's running style. So I'm hoping they have a good pace to go at. Pretend was very impressive when he won at Kempton just over a year ago in a maiden. I think he won by 7 lengths over 7 furlongs, showing enough promise for them to run him in Dubai. Only 1 run, though, didn't run very well. and that was it till 2 months ago, when he actually didn't run too badly, finishing fourth here at Wolverhampton over 7 furlongs. Shane Gray's been riding well for Godolphin. He's had a couple of winners for them in the last few weeks. Charlie Appleby leading the All-Weather Championship with 20 winners as well. And it's good, I think, that Godolphin are keeping some horses in the UK to run in the better races now as well during the winter. Dropping back to six is obviously the, not concern, but the interesting thing with him, because he's been running over seven so far. But he's only had 4 runs, and we don't know, you know, where his full potential is going to end up. But he's rated 95 already, and whether he can live up to that against some battle-hardened, or whether it's going to be one of those where he's unexposed and he could get away with it against exposed rivals, or he could just be a little bit overhyped on what he's shown so far. And the fact that he's only had 2 runs this year, 6 months apart, it's been 2 months since his last one, suggests to me that he's not that straightforward in training.
Yep.
Bada El Bador, if he can repeat his win at Doncaster back in the summer, that was a good run. He's been placed over 7 furlongs the last twice in conditions races, reverting back to handicap company. I think that win at Donny was 6.5, and those runs at 7, I think 6 is maybe just a bit too sharp for him. Whilst Boom the Groom was just ahead of Taruk at Lingfield last time out, he's steadily improving, Boom the Groom. But I think he might be vulnerable to one or two of the better horses as well. I think he'll run another good race, but I'm not sure he'll quite win. Secondo got going too late at Fosslass and Kempton, but things were timed to perfection last time out when he won here in an easier race over course and distance. But if they can offer a fast pace, if they can get the fractions right again, Chris Catlin, I'd expect him to be involved. And the other one, Fairway to Heaven, is a real cliff horse for me. I backed him three runs in a row and then got annoyed because he didn't run very well. Then he won at Windsor at like 25-1 or 16-1 or something.
22-1, yeah.
There you go. And then, so I backed him next time, and he hasn't run well since then in 5 starts at all. So I can't trust him. But he, again, he ran in the same race as Boom the Groom and Taruk. And although he was 8th, he wasn't actually all that far behind them. So I'm loath to mention him, but if I didn't mention him and then he won, I'd be really annoyed. So I'll mention him. And then Saint Poix, who's trained by Tony Carroll as well, who's obviously got the 3 runners in this. He's won on the all-weather in France at Consommaire and Deauville. First run on Tapeter. Consommaire, I think, might be Fibersand, as is Deauville. I'm not sure. Deauville is, but it's not like Southwell in the Fibersand. It's not as deep. But it's his first run on Tapeter. His turf form was rubbish. It was much, much better on the all-weather, where he had, I think, 3 wins and 2 places from 5 starts. But he could be anything coming into this sort of race, you know. And so, because we don't know a lot and how that... I mean, how good's all-weather form in France compared to here? It's enough to make me swerve him.
It is 5%, by the way, Consumer.
Is it as well, yeah. Again, it's like Deauville then in that case, in that it's not like Southern. It's not deep and hard work. I'm going to go with Taruk. Okay. So I think they'll go a good gallop. He ran really well at Lingfield last time. We know he's a good, solid all-weather performer, and he can be competitive off this mark, and that's enough for me to give him a go.
Okay. Summary then, Stephen. Let's have a quick spin through your selections for Friday one more time.
Well, we'll go with the novice hurdle at Ascot, the Grade 2 at 155 mark. Emerging talent, I think, for Paul Nicholls and Sam Twiston Davies. Receiving weight from the other two might well get away with it this time. And I think in the long term, he'll be the best horse as well. The novice chase to Grade 2 at Ascot as well at 230. Putty Zig, conditions fine, trip fine. And I think he's got less to prove than Dunravenstorm and Josses Hill under these conditions. And then Wolverhampton's 520. Good old Taruk. Loves the all-weather. Won at Lingfield. Won at Wolverhampton before. Track record holder at Lingfield. And ran well last time in a similar but possibly slightly weaker race than this.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. with Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Darren Owen in the studio. We have a good card at Ascot. We've also got jumping from Uttoxeter and all other racing on the Fibersand at Southwell in the afternoon. And into the evening, we have racing on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton domestically and on the Poly Track over in Ireland at Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.